and you're listening to WUML Lowell. We're talking with Valerie Hoyle. She's the chairperson of the Lane County, Oregon Democratic Committee. Is that right?
The Democratic Party of Lane County.
I see. We're going to talk a little bit about the strategy that helped win the election for not only Democrats nationwide and in New Hampshire and Massachusetts, by the way, but also in your state. And what was that strategy? What happened there?
Well, Oregon. We think of Oregon's a swing state. Lane County is a swing county and a swing state. And the difference between this time around and many years past is that we had four, and at the end, five paid staff people put here by Howard Dean as part of the 50-state strategy. Because we're not a primary state that matters in the primary, we haven't gotten paid staff people. But Howard Dean's 50-state strategy put paid staff people in every single state. We had an organizer here that handled Lane County and 14 counties south and east that was a rural organizer. So we got to organize rural parts of our county that hadn't seen a Democratic face in a long time, not someone specifically from the Democratic Party of Oregon. We won seats that haven't been Democrat ever or since redistricting. So it was pretty impressive, but these staff people were paid not just to work for this election, but to stay for 3 years, so to stay through till 08. And again, the capacity that we'll be able to build because of that and because of Howard Dean's putting his money where his mouth is, which is into grassroots organizing, is phenomenal. We're very excited about it.
He immediately got criticism from James Carville, who was, the Clinton's guru.
And we were absolutely disgusted. There's a great political blog called Blue Oregon. If you want to check it out, it's blueoregon.com, where people immediately rebutted and said, if it hadn't been for the 50, Carville said if Dean hadn't put money in all the 50 states, that we would have won more seats. Well, the fact of the matter is, at the local level, we won back the House for the first time in 16 years. In New Hampshire, the other state in the union without a sales tax, they won back the House for the first time since the 1920s.
Not only did they win back the House, Valerie, they won back the Senate. They won back the executive council, which hadn't been Democratic for forever, and the House hadn't had a Democratic majority since 1920. So the governor, the two congresspeople were elected Democrats, one of which there was nobody expected it to happen. The House is solidly a majority of Democrats. The Senate is a majority of Democrats. The Executive Council, the whole shooting match, other than the two senators who weren't up for election this time.
Yeah, we had the same. Our governor, our state Senate, and our House are all Democratic. And we won some Senate seats that, although it wouldn't have flipped the Senate this time around, it would have meant that in 08 we would have had a tough time keeping that for Democrats. So we have all three chambers as well. And again, it was specifically because of Howard Dean. We also pulled seats on county commissions on at every level because Howard Dean focused on putting money at the grassroots. And for Carville to come out and criticize Dean was it was absurd, and just one more reason why that it shows that group is completely out of touch. And I think we need to do what we can to support Dean and make sure that the DNC remains focused on supporting the grassroots.
And the DNC is the Democratic National Committee, and there's a DLC too. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the DLC is the represents Carville. Terry McAuliffe, who is the former head of the Democratic National Committee. And this is a group of people who feel that Democrats should be Republican-lite. And Howard Dean was not part of that group. And with Howard Dean in the leadership of the Democratic National Committee, we've had more people come over and say, I was an independent, I didn't like where the Democrats were going, but I feel like Howard Dean is taking this party where it needs to go. I mean, we had a lot of it's great being on a winning team because everyone wants to be on your team. But the reason we have a winning team is because of the direction that Howard Dean's taking the party.
Now, have you talked to chair people from other Democratic parties in other states or other counties in Oregon?
Well, yes. I've talked to other I've worked a lot with the chair people from other rural counties, and there is not every single one of us had wins that were unprecedented. I've also talked to chair people from different states, and across the board, I've talked to people from Wisconsin, talked to people from Rhode Island, talked to people from New Hampshire. And across the board, we were more successful at the county level and felt like we were much more a part of the decision-making process because we had someone on the ground funded from the DNC. I really feel like the money that we're sending to the national party is being put back into action. But the thing that Howard Dean's doing is making sure not just that we're going to win now, because we only ever get investment in the general election. We're not a state that matters in the primary. But the fact that we're getting this investment means that we'll have Democratic wins in 2010, 2012, and beyond. We're really able to build capacity in the off time, and it's pretty impressive.
That's, of course, if the 50-state strategy remains in place. Now, there are really very influential people within the Democratic Party, specifically the Democratic Leadership Council, the DLC, that would like to change it back to the way it was, meaning that they would target certain states, just the states that they see as key states in getting a president elected. And
right. And again, that wouldn't be Oregon, and it wouldn't be New Hampshire. So I think what we need to do as Democrats is support Howard Dean and make sure that our voices are heard. And I think Howard Dean won. And Howard Dean's strategy won, and it's. I think day by day, it's getting harder and harder for the DLC to come in and say, "Well, what you do, the 50-state strategy won't work." It did work, and their strategy didn't work.
But mainstream media, the day after the big change, and the Democrats won so many elections, the first thing you saw was Rahm Emanuel was the architect of this victory. And, of course, he's allied with Lieberman, with
Marble, yeah,
and the rest of them. And so Steny Hoyer, who was in that camp, also became the top Democrat next to Nancy Pelosi. Not that she wanted it that way, but that's the way it ended up. So that group is still strong, and they're still fighting to get back to that aspect of the Democratic Party, which I call the NAFTA Democrats. So anyway,
well, again, coming from a county that's represented by Congressman Peter DeFazio, who is not an NAFTA Democrat, who is not Republican light, and again, a lot of his constituents are rural Democrats or independents or Republicans that vote for him because he stands up for what he believes in, not because he's Republican light. I think what we need to do is we need to stand up at the local level. I mean, at the local level and get involved at the local level. People get involved, are interested in national politics and because it's sexy, but for most of us, national politics comes around once every 2, maybe 4 years, and we can make a small bit of difference. But if you get involved at the local level, at the local party level, at your state party level, you can really make long-term differences. So that's what I would encourage people to do, is get involved at the local and support Howard Dean.
Yeah, that rings back to mind some of my experiences when I was involved in the unions in New Hampshire. I lived in Nashua. And New Hampshire, every 4 years, we were visited by every person that was going to run for president. And, I mean, I had dinner with Jimmy Carter. I didn't even know who he was, and I was a firefighter at the time, so I had dinner with him at the Modern Restaurant in Nashua, and I couldn't get another firefighter to go because we didn't know who this guy was, and I was able to get only one teacher to go, and so we sat and we had a meal with Jimmy Carter, and then found out later that, he became the president of the United States, but I was, just a kind of a nobody, you know, but when you lived in New Hampshire, every 4 years you were a somebody. But what they would do with us, you know, we had a central labor council and we wanted to become involved politically. So every 4 years they tried to drain all our resources and all our people to work on presidential campaigns or national campaigns. And then finally, at one point, we said, wait a minute, you know, this really doesn't help us as much as people in the state Senate, people in the state House. And we decided to do that kind of a strategy. And it certainly worked for us, I'll tell you that. It made things a lot better for us, and we had a lot more impact and power in changing our lives because of the fact that we were dealing with political offices that were closer to home and, you know, that were closer to our needs. So,
well, and that certainly is what happened here. The presidential campaign will come in every 4 years, again, for the general, not for the primary, because the decision's already made by the time they get to Oregon. We would have the presidential campaign come in, they'd suck up all the volunteers, then they take all the data. This past time around, we were actually given the data and given the names of the volunteers who volunteered in the presidential election, and we were able to contact them after the election and work with them over those 2 years and pull in people who generally are those 1 out of 4 voters. And what our local party did and what our state party did was we contacted all of the 1 out of 4 voters, voters that only ever usually vote in the presidential election. And by doing that, we got a senator elected by just over 1,100 votes that nobody thought would win. We elected the representative in my district that has never been Democratic, because we called the 1 out of 4 voters. We increased the margin that our governor won in Lane County more than any other county in the state over the last time that he ran, because we called those 1 out of 4 voters. And what we did was we were able to use the list, the volunteer list, the voting list that came from the presidential election, because Howard Dean allowed us to use that information where no one else before had done it. And I had read an interview with Terry McAuliffe, who had previously run the Democratic National Committee and was part of that whole DLC leadership. And he was saying, oh, the problem with the local parties and the state parties is that, you know, they would want to keep the names of all the volunteers and not give them over to us. Well, we're sick and tired of that, and we need to make sure that they give us their information. Well, it was completely the other way around. The presidential candidate would come in, and they wouldn't share their information at all, and we weren't able to build capacity for the next person coming in because they were focused solely on a personality-based model. But again, you know, we've got 8,000 names. We're able to build our database from 600 people to over 8,000 people because we had something to work with, and we were able to spend those 2 years building capacity. And by the time the next presidential candidate comes into Lane County, hopefully we'll have twice that many people.
Yeah, you know, the same kind of experience. You know, I told you about how in New Hampshire, you know, every 4 years, you know, you're a hero to presidential candidates. They come around, they're knocking on your door, man. If you know, you have any kind of a role in a community, they all want to know you, and they want their picture taken with you, and they want you to motivate your organizations and all of that. A day after the election, see you later. You never see those people again. Never, ever see those people again. They're gone, you know?
Well, but Howard Dean put paid staff people into New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And they were able to work at the local level in an off-election year. And what it meant was taking back the House since the first time since the 1920s.
Yeah, I know. I was talking about previous, you know, when involved, you know, back in the 80s and early 90s. Anyway, about Oregon, what's the weather like out there?
You know, it's not raining yet, but we expect it to rain today. We expect it to rain tomorrow. We're expecting it to rain till about June.
Yeah.
But it gets very green.
But I understand you have a slug festival out there. What is that?
We do. We have a slug queen. Every September, we right here in Eugene, Oregon, we nominate a slug queen, and it's the Eugene celebration has a big parade, and we elect this because we have lots of slugs, very large slugs.
And what is a slug, by the way?
A slug is like a snail without a shell, and it's big. I mean, they call them banana slugs, so they could be, you know, 3 or 4 inches long, and they're everywhere. I mean, they're like they'd be, you know, the state animal if we had one. And so, I mean, other people have prom queens. They got their county queens. We here in Eugene elect a slug queen who goes around, and for the next year we'll go to events dressed in her slug regalia and, you know, bring happiness to the world.
Now, Eugene, Oregon is the home of the University of Oregon. Is that right?
That's right. That's right.
Uh-huh. Now, how'd you become involved in, you know, the Democratic Party out there?
Well, I had been involved previously when I was younger in politics, but we moved here for the schools, and when we got here, they had passed a number of property tax or tax limitation measures, and the schools were getting cut severely. And the reason that we moved here was for the schools, and every year since we've been here, there have been cuts in education. They've cut the athletic program, the drama program, the teachers. We've got, my daughter has a class with 48 kids in her eighth grade Spanish class. And so I figured the best way to fix the schools was to turn the Oregon House Democratic, so because all the appropriation bills come from the House. And I knew that getting involved in politics at the local level, it was something I knew how to do, could make that difference. And so I've been working. It was after the Kerry election. I worked on the Kerry election here. After the Kerry election, became chair of the local party, which I don't know if that would happen in other states, you know, just coming in, becoming chair of the party. And in 2 years, we were responsible for picking up two of the four seats needed to flip, to turn from Democrat, Republican to Democrat, and to take back the House. And again, we won a Senate seat that was, we were 18 points behind about 4 weeks out, and worked to make sure we won that. So I feel like I got involved to help change the schools. We accomplished what we set out to do, and you know, hopefully it will result in better investment in our education, more protection for our environment. You know, keeping, we have some of the most beautiful farmland here, fertile farmland in the country, and there's just been this unchecked building. So we're hoping to protect family farms and, yeah, you know, make sure Oregon's as beautiful a place in 25 and 50 years as it is now.
Yeah, again, that shows why, you know, Howard Dean's strategy, 50-state strategy, and what they did in Oregon will be valuable because of the fact that now you've taken back the House in Oregon. But you don't change things overnight. You've got these referendums that have been passed that have tax limitation or whatever. You can explain that a little bit in a minute. But in order to change things back to the way they should be, it takes time, and that means that you have to, you know, be able to sustain the majorities in the House and Senate, and have your governor from your party, so that you can change back some of the things that have been done that have caused people to have, what did you say, 48 kids in a class, or?
Yeah, 48 kids in the class.
Could you elaborate a little bit?
I think, I don't know, I don't think you have this in Massachusetts, but we have what's called the initiative ballot measure. So we elect our representatives and also have ballot measures. I mean, this past time around, we had maybe 12 different ballot measures. Most of them went down, and there were some pretty horrific ballot measures, tax limitation measures, that were funded by Howard Rich and a number of out-of-state anti-tax people. We had another one, Measure 37, that went through last time around that was supposedly to allow people to utilize their land to build small homes and you know, not allow the state to demand that the state or the county pay compensation if people couldn't build on their land, and is now being used not for people to build an extra home for their mother-in-law, but for this unchecked building where large companies are coming in saying, I want to build 150, you know, condos or homes on this pristine farm area. But we had, let me see, on the ballot measures that people tried to get through this time around, one was good, which helped people buy prescription. That was Measure 44. But everything else was predominantly funded from out of state. There was a parental notification bill that had a ton of money coming in from the pro-life groups out of state. There were two anti-tax measures. There was an interesting one that was a campaign finance bill, which was one that said that there should be campaign finance reform, written in a way that a lot of progressive groups also didn't agree with. And then the next ballot measure said that the Constitution had to be changed, because right now it's not constitutional to have campaign finance. The campaign finance bill passed, but the constitutional change did not. So that couldn't go into effect.
So you've got a lot of work to do.
Well, in 08, there's already 15 ballot measures on the books that would be horrific. So what it means is that, you know, progressive organizations have to spend their money fighting the ballot measures and cannot give money to progressive candidates. And it's not used as a voice for the people. So it's pretty bogus. And, it's a difficult thing that we've got to deal with.
Yeah, it's the taking away the power from the people using the vehicle that supposedly puts power into the hands of the people. You're listening to Thinking Out Loud. We're coming to you from WUML Lowell, which is housed in the University of Massachusetts Lowell. My name is Dan Toomey. We've been talking to Valerie Hoyle. She is the chairperson of the Democratic Party of Lane County, Oregon. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. Well, thanks so much, Valerie.
All right. Thank you, Dan.